Hey folks, it's your old buddy Rob. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. And before we get started, I know we normally do the audio vault at the end of the show, but this was something very exciting I found online. I wanted you to hear this along with everybody here in the studio. These are some lost, recently discovered Brett Favre voicemail messages. Check this first one out.
Hey, Jan. It's Brett. second day of practice. I'm back at the hotel and, I don't know, I'm just going to chill. Give me a call if you can come over. I'd appreciate it.
What's amazing about what I found is that Brett is really quite the ladies' man. Check out this idea for an evening on the town.
Hey, you-know-who. I just thought I'd check in with you, see how you're doing. I'm watching TV, and I'm gonna get some room service. I'm watching Inspector Vision, and I'd sure love to give you a foot massage if you'd like to come over. I could massage anything you got.
Also, the thing that I found most amazing is that he was not apologetic about the pictures he sent of his penis.
Hi, Janice Brett. Did you get them? Yeah, I just took a picture of it. I do that a lot of times just so you can see it before you really see it, if you know what I mean. I'm here at the hotel just chilling. And if you like what you see, maybe you could come over and, I don't know, touch it.
The lost Brett Favre voicemail messages. He didn't only send pictures of his penis.
Hey, Jan, it's a you-know-who again. I'll give you my name. I'm back at the hotel. I'm just going to sit here for a while and chill. Did you get the picture of my balloon nut?
Which I also found shocking, but not as shocking. He was also, it seemingly after hearing these messages, interested in not just a lover, but a mate.
Hey, Jim. It's Brett. I sure would like to see the city with you. I haven't seen the Empire State Building. I'd sure like to go. I'm fixing to go into New York City, and I was wondering if you could maybe come up and we'd be fixing to go up to the top. And after that, maybe I'd be fixing to go to Little Italy and get some food, and then we could have sex.
Another thing that I found surprising is a lot of times in situations like this, people sort of skirt the responsibility of identifying themselves on the voicemail. But Brett left nothing to the imagination as to who was calling.
Hi, it's your favorite gray-haired quarterback. Listen, you haven't called me back or left me any messages. It's not that I'm just lonely, you know. I mean, we don't have to do it right away, but, you know, we could maybe just come over and I could have you... look at it again after you got the picture of it, or maybe touch it, or maybe I'm feeling silly right now. Maybe smell it.
So we get to learn a lot about Brett, and what we learn is that he's a man of specific wants, even when it gets right down to his bed linen.
Hey, Jan, listen, I got a new a plastic sheet that I put on the bed, so I figured I've been thinking the reason you're not probably calling me is you might have that time. So I went out and went to Bed Bath & Beyond and got a special sheet. you use them, don't you, when you have that time? I don't know. Please come over.
And finally, Brett was very specific in his needs as far as food goes.
Hey, Janice, Brett. I'm living in my real name because I just want you to come over right now. I'm in a tub in my bathroom in the hotel, and I've got it filled with oatmeal, and I was wondering if you could come over, and I'd get out of the tub, I'm going to go to the bed that I got the plastic sheet on, and then I'd have you lick the oatmeal off of me, and, it's called Brett's Breakfast. Can you do that? Please. You know I'll always be true to you.
You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Jesus, I'm tired. So f***ing tired. You know how tired I am? If some girl came up to me, begged me to f***, I couldn't do it.
Dad?
That's how tired I am.
Watch the language, huh?
She's listening to music. Oliver, I'll give you $1 million if you turn around. See?
All right, the rest of us.
Oh, the rest of you. Can I give you some advice? Well, I'm going to give it to you anyway. I don't want you making the same mistakes I made when I was young.
Can we hear this?
Dwayne, that's your name, right? Dwayne? This is the voice of experience talking. Are you listening?
f*** a lot of women, Dwayne.
Hey.
Not just one woman.
Dad.
A lot of women.
That's enough, right?
Are you getting any?
Dad.
You can tell me, Dwayne. Are you getting any?
Come on, please.
No? Jesus. You're what, 15? My God, man.
Dad.
You should be getting that young
Dad.
Stuff. That young stuff
hey.
Is the best stuff in the whole world.
Hey, Dad, that's enough. Stop
Will
it.
Will you kindly not interrupt me, Richard? See, right now, you're jailbait, they're jailbait. It's perfect. I mean, you hit 18. Man, you're talking about 3 to 5.
Hey, I will pull this truck over right now.
So pull the truck over. You're not going to shut me up. F*** you. I can say what I want.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara.
Buzz Burbank.
Rob Spiewak.
Oscar Santana.
And now, from his couch, here's Mike.
Enjoyed across America and in 145 countries. Around the world. From the Cappy Pfeiffer Studios, this is MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Yeah.
It is Wednesday, October 13, 2010, and we are well over 3.5 million downloads, continuing to grow every day because of you, because of your support. You download it, you go to the website, you tell your friends about it, and we are eternally grateful for that.
We thank you.
Thank you 1,000 times. Thank you.
1,000.
Our show today is brought to you by Peapod.com. Get Honeycrisp apples and all your groceries delivered right to your door at a time that's convenient to you. Peapod is a complete shopping experience with the freshest produce, meat, seafood, and baked goods. And you can shop 24/7 at Peapod.com. Get $10 off your first order when you click the Peapod ad on our website. Empty shell of a room. Vibrations. That's what I'm hearing right now. Sounds like I'm over here a little bit. We're still tweaking a little bit with our audio chain. We kind of did it yesterday, but we're adjusting again.
Constantly.
Hail, hail. The gang's all here. Lots to talk about on the show. Want to thank Oscar Santana for writing for creating that comedy series.
That's right.
Rob Spiewak for writing it, and yours truly for delivering the Brett Favre impersonation.
Yeah. Bravo.
That's what we call a collaborative effort.
I do love it when the Mike O'Mara Imagineers get together.
Yes, we do.
And the magic happens.
Yes, the little sketch comics that we are. On the program today, we're going to talk about the Chilean miners.
Of course.
And the fact that a wonderful, beautiful thing has happened and been just about as trashed by American television as it possibly
well,
can be.
Well, that's what we do.
That's exactly what we do.
I wish they had just brought them out without telling anybody.
Yeah, it just, you know, and my main problem is their sense of time. So we'll talk about that. The law in Mexico, want to get to that, about that that guy that was murdered on the lake, on the investigator.
Oh, my God, and the decapitation?
Pretty nasty stuff. Let me see. My 90-year-old mom, a little something that, great conversation I had with her last night. And something new that the boys witnessed right before the show that I'll start with here is very briefly my little dog, Beluga.
This is good.
Beluga has a new thing that he likes to do. He likes to make out.
Is it
out.
Beluga that likes to do it, Mike?
No,
or is it you?
it is
because
a
what I saw was something that was really quite remarkable that you returned to several times within a minute.
Yes.
It's Beluga likes to
Mark,
make out.
Hey, Mark, look at this.
He likes to make out.
He does.
Carla was laughing at Beluga, and all of a sudden Beluga started laughing, and I hear Carla like gutturally like guffawing, and I look over and she's got her mouth open, and Beluga is like sticking his tongue out and licking her teeth.
Right.
And I started laughing, and then I call Beluga over to me, and I open my mouth.
Oh, Jesus.
Doing the same thing. Yes,
open mouth kisses.
Open mouth kisses from Beluga. That's all I got.
It's the delicate dance of seduction.
It's a sight you must see. We have to get a picture or put that up on Ustream somehow.
That is all I got.
We wonder why Frankie comes in here and craps in the room every day.
No, he's jealous.
Yeah, well, you know what? Buzz brought me this today, and on the subject of dogs, and we will get to the Chilean miners and CNN and what a land
but
of
really,
suck
let's address
that is.
What's important.
That's right.
This is the important stuff here. It says, and I quote from the article, Buzz, do you know where you got this?
Not exactly, no.
Your dog destroys stuff because he's a pessimist. I really don't know if I have the time or energy to add my dog's outlook on life to the list of things I can worry about, but here we are. God, that's driving me insane.
You just have to ignore it.
I know I do.
I got 10 emails that said that yesterday's show sounded fine from beginning to end.
Okay. According to researchers, I'll try to ignore it then. According to researchers at Bristol University in England, dogs can be optimists or pessimists.
Wow.
Just like people.
Hmm.
Mike Mendel is the animal behavior professor at Bristol who led the study. He says, quote, We know people's emotions. I'll start again. We know people's emotional states affect their judgment.
Right.
What our study has shown is that this applies similarly to dogs. It's very British the way that quote is. Well, we know our study.
Well, he can't be trusted then.
Our study is shown is that this applies similarly to dogs. For the study, they trained dogs to recognize that food bowls on one side of the room were empty and the ones on the other side were full. Then they took the bowls and shuffled them around in other places in the room.
And this is science.
Yes. Some dogs sprinted toward the bowls, hoping every time they'd find food. Other dogs were more hesitant and slowly approached the bowls, assuming they'd be empty. It's the dog equivalent of the glasses half empty or half full. Mendel found that the dogs who sprinted toward the bowls are the optimist dogs, and they're calmer when their owners leave them alone because they fully believe their owners are coming back. The pessimistic dogs don't fully trust, they don't trust you to come back,
right.
So they might lash out, which is why they'd be more likely to destroy your furniture or make a mess in your house.
So the question is Frankie a pessimist?
Frankie is a pessimist through and through. Frankie,
cite an example.
He flees. He flees. Uh-huh. He never assumes
expects the worst.
He totally expects the worst. He got it today because I brought him over to the area where he poops, and he's now in the laundry room being punished. That's his punishment.
Well, in Frankie's defense, he's like a little dog in a big world.
He truly is tiny. He's like a rat.
When you're that size, you know where your place in the pecking order and in the world is.
He's the size of a rat, and therefore I think he's terrified of everything. I mean, it's the nature of the breed, and I think that's because they're tiny, but he is a pessimist. Yeah. I mean, he said there's no, you might have a little chihuahua with, he attacks Beluga all the time and he's ballsy around a bigger dog.
Yeah.
It's just people that, he kind of does that
when
whole
I go to
shaking
pet him,
thing.
It's a 50-50 for him if I'm going to kill him or if I'm just going to pet him.
Well, and that's
and I see it in his eyes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. He's good for a chihuahua though because he's not one of the ugly hairless breeds.
That's true.
And
right?
He's not a shaky chihuahua, which makes me nervous.
He is a shaky chihuahua.
There are others that are a lot
I've
more
seen
shaky.
Shakier.
I'm sure there are shakier, but he gets in my lap. Like if I bring him over to my particular chair in my little TV room,
it's like having a visit with Michael J. Fox.
He will sit there as soon as he gets in my lap. Yeah. This is the look. This is the look. It's always like.
Well, he is. He's a rat. He's a rat
and
in a cage.
It's looking around. It's like, what are you looking for? Who are you looking to rescue? You little fart. He's just kind of going. And then if he's really doesn't want to go, he'll do the.
Quiver.
Leave me alone.
Although I have never beaten this dog,
right.
I have never abused this dog. Yet. I have yelled at the dog for pooping. I've given him a little tap on the nose. There, that's the extent of it right there. I said, don't do
is that.
That
what they call it these
and
days?
That's a tap on the nose.
I saw a closed fist.
Yeah. He shakes.
I use a tiny little like chihuahua sock with little bars of soap in it.
Mike, he's shaking in your lap because he's afraid you're going to make out with him.
That could be. They're very well could be.
They're both weird dogs, and that's my lot in life that I happen to have weird dogs that exist.
Sweet but strange.
But you know what? You've been saying we've done the podcast since December, and ever since we've started, you've been threatening to get rid of them.
I'm not going
to
get
look,
rid of
them. And look, they're firmly entrenched in your life.
They're in the family.
You've gotten to first base with the black one.
the thing about both of them, they're weird dogs, but they are part of the family. And when I go up at night, and they're both on the bed, and they're watching TV with Carla, and I come in from doing show prep and I lie down and Frankie comes right up to me and wants to put his face right up here and wags his tail,
very friendly,
wants to be petted,
of course.
That then he'll move over to the other side again. I have a window of about 10 minutes, maybe less, with Frankie where he is my dog, where he loves me. My little drill is he comes over.
Oh, your little drill.
I take his collar off. I slide his pants off.
The force of gravity.
No, I take his collar off and then I scratch his neck and he loves it. And this sounds so, for some reason, this is sounding sick.
Yeah, we need the sexy music.
It's in bed.
The question is, though, Mike, would you rather have... Okay.
Hi, Frankie.
Are you shirtless at this time?
Yes, I am. I'm in my underwear.
Is it spectacular?
And it is. What happens is Frankie comes over to me, walks up to the bed. I come over to the bed. He cuddles. He nuzzles his neck. God, that dog. One word can best describe that animal.
What's that word?
spectacular. Anyway, he's a sweet dog.
All that being said, yes. And you've got 10 minutes of quality dog care for you
right.
a day. Would you rather have the 10 minutes or nothing at all?
I love the 10 minutes. Sure. The 10 minutes is good enough. That's all I need.
Quality time.
I don't need...
In this microwave lifestyle, you only need 10 minutes of
life. Well, you know me. You all know me.
It works.
Does anyone really know you?
Listen, I am... Little bursts of niceness are my...
Few and far between.
It's... No. It's the little bursts of affection that I like. I like it.
I can't wait for this week's little burst of niceness. A lot of times happens on a Thursday.
Coming up.
I don't like long phone conversations.
Right. You do not.
I don't like to linger over like big emotional subjects.
Right.
But I am emotional.
Yeah, you'll touch emails, on something and
your emails
move on.
Are brief. Your texts are even briefer.
Yeah, that's... No, usually unpunctuated. You know
what? I hate your lack of capital letters.
You know, the thing is, though, I could lie to all of you and talk about how scary busy I am, but I'm really not.
You know what? If you were to tell that lie, we would say we believe you.
You're not.
I mean, there is. It's funny. It's very rare that that I don't have time to deal with things, but it's just like communication to me
is tedious.
It's tedious.
Tedious.
It's just, you know, I'll see. Yeah. I don't enjoy it. I'm not a big communicator. Therefore, it's essential that I have obsessive communicators in this little
right. And you do
our circle. Yeah,
this little business.
Your hand.
No, but I mean, it's good that people do that. That's and true. We've got a lot of
somebody
real
has to
communicators on this show because I'm not great at it, and you're not all that great on it either.
I try not to. My big thing is I worry about bothering people. I just don't want to bother
anybody.
You know
what? It's hard.
That's why we get along.
But you know what? It's hard to bother. I feel it's hard to bother with email.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a passive way to communicate. Right. Mm-hmm. And so easily.
Okay, let me introduce you to a man named Mark Ronick.
Well, I've had the pleasure. But you don't need to open an email. You don't
He's
even
gotten
need to look
so
at
much
your
better,
email.
Though. He's gotten so
yeah,
much
I
better.
Don't, I don't see that.
Oh, come on.
There are still emails that I totally blow off
yes,
from
you
him,
do.
Though.
Most,
I just, I, because most. It's like, I look at it and I'm like going.
Tedious.
This is going to be six sentences just to
six. Sentences. Yeah. I'll be exhausted.
Just to I'm so not busy, but I don't want to.
So don't open it. But it's not like a phone call.
You know, I'd rather you know what bliss is for me.
What?
Sitting there with my feet up, watching like Boardwalk,
kissing a dog,
making out with my dog, watching Boardwalk Empire,
right.
And playing on my iPhone How to Kill Yourself in Less Than 5 Minutes.
Oh, oh yeah, no. It's fun.
What'd you pay for that app?
$2.99, I think.
Wow.
It's fantastic.
Fun.
Oh, the apps. I'm getting into the apps.
You like the apps?
Oh, I like the
apps. Try the Honeycrisp app.
Is there a Honeycrisp app?
I just made that up because apps is like Apple.
There's a terrific Mark cocktail app.
Yeah.
There's a fantastic cocktail app. And I found it because I went to the Mad Men app, which only had like 8 cocktails.
That one
sucked. I told this story
yeah.
before.
Yeah.
And then I went to I forgot it's Cocktail Nation or something like that, where everything's in there.
A cocktail
everything.
Nation where Mike O'Mara lives.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean,
so you actually just make different drinks virtually
it's
on the app?
Oh, it's incredible.
I've got a great one called Drinks Free, and it's a free app, and it's got a million cocktail recipes.
Oh, it's
another
fantastic.
Another Rob Roy Bishop?
All right, let's see. Buzz?
Yes?
I would like you to bring up the recipe for mm-hmm. a grasshopper.
Mm.
A grasshopper.
I've never had one.
Please to I remember.
Can
I
guess?
Old, it's a foo-foo drink.
Can I guess before
Not
he does it?
Not yet, Mr. Brain. Let's just let him. Let him bring it up. I know you're going to say because we're both going to say it's got creme de menthe.
Yeah, and I think half and half.
Okay.
Right?
All right. We'll see what it's got in it. I'm
going to
say.
Them.
All right. Go ahead. You guess. I'm going to say.
I'm going to guess creme de menthe.
Right.
Half and half vodka
right.
shaken over ice and strained and served up.
I was going to say creme de menthe, creme de menthe, creme de me,
creme de menthe,
vodka and. And half and half.
That's exactly what I said.
That's the same exact thing.
Mountain Dew and Cavassier.
Mountain Dew and vodka, like on Mad Men.
Apple sour.
Okay, maybe not a great app.
Hey, RJ, can you go out into the kitchen and get my phone?
Can you go get Mike's bottle of creme de menthe?
And RJ, thank you for everything you do. I don't say that
Amen
enough.
To that.
Okay,
yeah.
You know what? I actually wrote it down. Weight. Look what I wrote down here. Mr. French, a sincere thanks for everything. I give RJ a lot of crap on this show, but RJ has been a friend of this broadcast and is loyal
would
and is a
this?
Good guy. He's
would
a truly good guy.
Would you say that without RJ, this show didn't happen?
This
the studio, I know this. I know the studio didn't happen without RJ.
I wouldn't get happy.
Yeah, let's not get crazy.
No, but he does look good in orange.
We would have gotten somebody else to do it.
Grasshopper not coming up.
Maybe, but we would have.
Yeah,
I'm being honest.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
You know what?
Why did you back me into the
right corner? I did the exact opposite of piling on.
Your phone's here.
I did the exact opposite of piling on. See what happens when I try to be nice?
Of course.
I don't want to be in foreign waters.
All right, let me see if my app is better than Buzz's app.
I'm sure it is. Since I can't get Grasshopper.
Buzz, I don't remember if I paid for it or not. I really don't remember that. All right.
Well, I got what I paid for.
Mine is called Pocket Cocktails.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now, would a Grasshopper be...
How would you like to come over and have a pocket cocktail?
A martini, a classic, a summer, a wine and beer, a warmer, a shooter, tips and tricks. I would say...
I think it's a classic.
A classic? Okay. Classic. All right. And we go through the...
What does a Grasshopper run in bars these days?
Probably. It's probably... a Greyhound and then no Grasshopper.
Yeah, isn't that odd?
Bastards.
Mm.
Oh, they both.
Can you Google it up, Mark?
I can search. Mm. Hold on, I can search.
Yeah, Mark.
Like $10, $11.
I don't think it's that expensive. It's probably the cost of a rail.
I did a search. I didn't get it on that either.
Summer, I drank Cosmopolitans.
Cut what?
Grasshopper.
All summer.
Grasshopper.
You find it?
I've got it.
How is
it on
my app's better than your
app? It is.
Well, you were such a big shot going, and I got this for free.
I never looked up Grasshopper.
You know why this is true? Because I actually looked at the apps for cocktails after the first one sucked.
Oh, you did a little research.
Right. So let's see the recipe.
I see the picture of it.
Okay, here we go. Are you ready?
It looks like a melted candy.
What did the blind man say?
You can order all these ingredients from Peapod.
All right, very good.
That's true.
Here we go.
Not the vodka.
Pocket cocktails. Recipe. One, fill a shaker halfway with ice cubes.
Okay, right. Good.
Nice. Number two, add the creme de menthe, creme de cacao.
Oh, okay. That gives it a chocolate undertone.
Mm-hmm. Is that creme de, or is that creme de coco?
I think it's cacao.
Creme de cacao.
Or maybe cacao. Isn't there a little thingy under the second C?
Robert Evans should be doing this.
You're right.
Fill a shaker halfway with ice cubes. Add the creme de menthe, creme de cacao, and light cream to the shaker. Three, shake the mixture vigorously for 5 to 10 seconds. Strain the drink into a chilled cocktail glass and get ready for spectacular.
That's excellent.
So nice.
Chocolate mint cream, basically.
All right, let me see how fast I can do it. Anybody, shout out a recipe.
Let's see what they say. Old fashioned.
Old fashioned. Well, that's what the old fashioned's like.
Yeah, but you know what? There's many different takes on it, and I'd like to hear what they say.
All right, hold on a second. Hold on a second, Rob. I'm going to do this as fast as I can. I know this is boring radio, but
you know who loves an old fashioned?
This is fun for us.
Draper loves an old fashioned. It's Draper's go-to drink.
All right, here we go. An old fashioned. Here's the recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready. Add an orange slice and two maraschino cherries to a rocks glass.
Mm.
Muddle the ingredients in the glass. Add 1 ounce of bourbon and 2 ice cubes to the glass and stir. Add simple syrup, bitters, and 2 more ice cubes to the glass and stir. Add another ounce of bourbon and fill the glass 3/4 full with ice cubes.
That is so much work.
It's a lot of ice.
I love the ritual. And you know what?
So much work.
They didn't
garnish with an orange twist and cherry and stir the drink.
That's nice. That's a nice old fashioned right there.
Is that a good one?
That is. That's a little more labor intensive than I do. All but right. It's what they do is I use sugar and they use simple syrup.
Just one more.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll do one more.
An Incredible Hulk.
All right.
Cool. But not heard of that one. Have you had that drink before, Oscar?
I have.
All right. Hold on. Let me see if it exists.
Does it do a lot of damage? Does it help you high-five a cactus?
I think it might be one of the community, the black community.
Really?
Yes.
Is there a key ingredient?
There was a time, I think, that we all thought we were rappers, and I want to do everything I saw in rap videos.
Of course.
And the Incredible Hulk came up in a rap video.
Yeah, I remember what
not
I watched.
Not there. No. Don't have it. Don't have it.
If I'm not mistaken, okay. it's Cavassier and Hypnotic.
What is Hypnotic?
Hypnotic.
I can get that for you.
It's Hypnotic is it's just like a throwaway brand of Cavassier, I think.
Hypnotic.
Like, Hypnotic. It's a liqueur and Hypnotic. I don't know exactly what it is, but I'll find the details.
I love knockoff. I've told this story before, but I'll make it brief. When I was doing appearances for Thor's Hammer Vodka, and the guy that was really, really trying to sell me on what great stuff is, the deal was it tastes expensive, but it was cheap. And he said, and it's not just vodka we make. Mm-hmm. He said, you know the raspberry liqueur that you get, and it's very, very expensive. It comes in the purple bottle. I don't know why. I can't think of the name of it right now. It's the raspberry. He says, well, you know that? And I said, yeah. He says, well, we make this, and you know what? And I'm expecting him to say it's all the quality. Well, this is cheaper. So, thanks so much.
Are you ready? All right. Yes. Would anyone like to know the ingredients to a Hummer?
Yes, please.
All right. Sure.
All right, here we go.
Diamond necklace.
I apologize. Just quickly with the Incredible Hulk, it's Hennessy and Hypnotic.
Yeah.
That's
how did you get that on your iPhone?
Yes.
What's your app that you
I just
got
Googled
that?
It.
Just Googled. Yeah.
Oh, you Googled it.
Probably the best thing to do anyway.
Yeah. All right. What do you think? What do you think the base? What do you think the base alcohol is for a Hummer?
A Hummer, I would guess, is probably vodka. Darn it.
Rye whiskey.
Wow.
1 ounce of rye whiskey, 1 ounce of Kahlua, 1 ounce of half and half cream, 2 scoops vanilla ice cream, 1 cup ice crushed, 3 coffee beans. That's your Hummer.
Wow. You know, I have all those ingredients in my home.
This is great. I'm going to do a cocktail show. I'm actually going to do a cocktail show.
That.
All right, we're going to take a break because we have to come back, and that's our job. When we come back...
I'm hammered from that.
I already said the sincere thank you to Mr. French.
You
for
did.
All
you did.
Thank and you. A round of applause.
And then we saluted him, as usual.
RJ.
And coming soon, before the holiday is over, a Mr. French show.
Well, I think that's a great idea.
A show dedicated to RJ Diaz, all things RJ, and I just want you all to know I will not take any responsibility for this show.
We're not putting it on the website.
No, here's though, right? What's going to be
great.
Find
out what his likes are, what he likes, who he cares about.
Right.
It's going to be all RJ all the time.
Here's what's going to be great. The show will be a 60-minute podcast, but it will take 2.5 hours.
Absolutely.
To do.
We will be back with more right after this. Welcome back to segment 2 of the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Netflix. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, you have made this a very successful run with Netflix on our show, and we want you to tell the neighbors, tell the kids, if you want to get movies the best possible way, you go through our website, that's MikeO'MaraShow.com, and you can watch thousands of movies or any game console or computer. I'll tell it to you honestly, when we do stuff like this, everybody that we partner up with that puts an ad on our webpage, when it's a big company like Netflix or whether it's an Amazon.com, all of these big companies, the way it works, we want you to go through the website.
That's it.
So when I'm telling you about Netflix, I want you to use my website to get there. Okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's how you do it. Watch thousands of movies on any game console or computer and now on your iPhone and iPads and iPod Touches, or get Blu-rays and DVDs right to your door. That's the old-fashioned way they do it. I like that way.
Right. Or
just $8.99 a month. For a free trial, click the Netflix ad on our website. You wanted to throw something in
very
here?
Very good. No, Peapod would be another great example of those, but always click through the ads on all of our advertisers
a
on the
A few weeks
website.
Ago, both Julia and Robert came down with pneumonia, and I have spent a fortune buying complete sets of their favorite shows, like season 1 of SpongeBob.
Just to keep them occupied.
Now what I do, they were sick. I gave Robert a remote. He went in through his Wii to Netflix and had seasons 2 through 7 or whatever it
That's
is
so cool.
of SpongeBob right there.
It's the best way to watch shows.
I caught up on Dexter probably, I want to say at least 4 seasons right on Netflix.
God, it's great. Yeah. So good.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Would you like to know what the ingredients are?
Here we go.
I'm sorry, I'm captivated.
You gotta let it go.
A Long Island iced tea.
I think I remember.
All right, let me see. All right, go ahead.
Let's test you.
All you have to just analyze Oscar's
just
urine.
Is it vodka, tequila, and Jesus Christ?
It's a bunch of stuff.
He is not in there.
No, I'm out.
The man who died for our sins is not in there.
I think we used to call it in college. Was it 516? That was a Long Island area code, and the douchebags from Long Island didn't call it a Long Island iced tea. They called it, can I get a 516?
Right.
That sounds like something the situation would do.
Yeah.
RJ, are you weighing in on this one?
Oh, I forgot. RJ has a microphone, everybody.
It's 11.
Get ready.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I am. Rum.
All right, hold on. Rum.
Ah. Triple sec.
Nice.
Oh, good call.
Ooh, the fifth white. What is the fifth white?
Give me the fifth white. That's Ronic.
It's 5 whites and.
All right, are you ready?
Yeah.
Vodka, light rum, gin, tequila,
gin,
triple sec, lemon juice, simple syrup, cola.
Right.
At 11 wedge.
Yeah. Yeah. The Long Beach iced tea.
Those things used to get
cranberry juice.
All right, finally, enough of this with the drinks.
I saw it by Yule, right?
What's that?
Got hammered off 6 of those and got the DWI?
Absolutely. And they can crush you.
Yeah, they're
There's
powerful.
A law in certain states, and maybe even this very state, about how many liquors can go into a mixed drink.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's impossible to get a traditional Long Island iced tea somewhere because I think they cap it at 4 liquors.
It's impossible to get one everywhere but the O'Mara House.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, here it is. The Chilean miners. Yes. Everybody has been captivated by this story. Yes. We've all been watching it. And, you know, it's moving. It's touching to see these guys. I love it. It's great TV. I got done doing the radio show, had about a 45-minute wait before another appointment that I had today, and sat there at the computer just staring at them, watching it for half an hour, watching the tube go down and fetch these guys and bring it right back up again.
But how far down are they going again?
Half a mile.
Over 2,000.
Yeah.
Half a mile, and they told me, I heard a news report that indicated that the ride up is not all that, it's not like one straight shot.
No, there are little curves.
It's kind of like amusement park-ish, so these guys are very scared when they're coming out of that hole initially, and then they, of course, process what they've been
on. And it's a long ride. What is it, a half hour?
Yeah, about a half an hour to get
I saw...
what are you laughing about?
This is what's unfortunately what happens, and this is no slight towards Chile because it's a great country, great people.
No, none
it's
none
better than Bolivia.
Yeah, I agree 100%. But I literally sit there, it's like they've been effed in this hole for like 65 days. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're alive and they're trying to make it through, but they've been in this asshole this whole time, right?
Literally,
yeah. But then they get up, they're like, oh, F, we're still in Chile. Yeah. I'm not going anywhere.
Excuse me, I apologize. That's Oscar Santana. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Oscar Santana. And really, correct me if I'm wrong, even with a podcast, only man that can make that joke.
Yeah. I mean, you're still there.
You're still in Chile.
You're still in like some third world asshole.
Well, did you think that in 70 days they were going to turn around an entire culture?
No, it's like you want to come up, you want to end up like,
it's going to be like Reston Town Center.
You want to go somewhere great, like on vacation, but you're still there.
You want to come out of that cage and hear, you're out of the woods,
It's got to be better than what they had. I saw an interview with a guy who had been trapped, a former miner who had been trapped some years ago, not as deeply, but he said to him the most fascinating thing about his rescue coming up in one of those cages was seeing the layers of rock and soil. Even as a miner, he had no idea, and he'd never seen that perspective before of the earth and
the
layers.
Crust.
Right, yeah.
Almost makes it worthwhile.
He was fascinated by that.
So I'm watching this last night, and it just kills me because I should be watching a terrific human interest story,
a joyous
human condition, triumph of life, the value of life, so much better than bleeding and burning what we see on the news normally. And yet, CNN manages to just turn it into a cluster.
Oh, there
and
you
I'm
are.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I had to throw it
in there because...
But they're trying to manufacture excitement where none is needed.
There's no
That's
need.
What they do.
How many producers were crossing their fingers for like a cave-in?
Oh, of course.
Right. A jam.
And reminding us every 10 minutes that this could happen at any time.
Bring in the doctor with all of the maladies. And I'm thinking to myself...
Dr. Bad Touch.
They're down there. They've got oxygen. Yes, it's dark. Mm-hmm. I'm really thinking, you know, this is not... yes, it's underground, but you're not dealing with any pressure problem, really. And they're coming up with ideas like eye spasms, congestive heart failure.
It's like they're inventing stuff.
Blood clots.
Right.
They just are this litany of stuff.
What can go wrong?
And that is everything that could go wrong.
Right.
And I went,
right,
this is what you're all about. Because you know your stupid GD audience isn't going to pay attention unless you hype it up with danger.
It's not interesting if everything goes smoothly.
For God's sakes. And then a salient fact, like... how many hours before they actually start the rescue, they punt because they're clueless. Because it's more important for these dicks at news organizations to get the fear going of this could happen, than it is to say, what, you know, how about getting a real translator down there to talk to the people from Chile, the authorities, and say, what exactly will the time be?
Right.
Or when they're sitting there like Keystone Cops crawling all over this crate, and it looks to me, as I'm observing it, like maybe they're having a problem with it, and nobody's doing the journalists. You know, you're seeing them, they're making sure everything's just right. No, they weren't. They were having a mechanical
issue.
You could see them. Clearly. They had rebar inside the cage, and they were bending it. And meanwhile, Wolf Blitzer is just babbling on.
That's what he does.
Buzz, I, as the representative of journalism on this show.
Oh, no.
Oh, there you go.
This is what has happened.
Well, I think you figured.
This is network. What the
half has happened.
You figured it out already. First of all, 24/7 news networks, they're just filling time.
Horrible.
They're trying to make it interesting, maybe scary, where there is nothing to be afraid of.
But it's still a great story.
There are always things that, yeah, of course, but it's harder to fill the time unless you spend some of that time talking about what really could go wrong. Right. And in some cases, what probably won't go
wrong. And besides, they prepared it, so they want to read it.
Right.
There's a couple of things. First of all, I
pissed me off so much. And I shouldn't have said, I shouldn't have worried because, okay, it's all about the miners and it's all about this triumph of human beings. Why am I sitting there getting
pissed off? And I have another positive.
Because they wrecked my TV show.
I would say this, that my great-grandfather was a coal miner.
Okay.
He was. So and my dad, the way he got through school, because they were just dirt poor, was he got a scholarship through my father's work because my dad, at age 11, would work at the coal mine in the front office.
Right.
And do, like, paperwork and stuff like that.
Much better.
Yeah, that's why, my dad is who he is and he has the work ethic he has. But also, he knows about what a coal miner's life is all about.
Right.
And if you think a coal miner's life is bad here in the States, imagine it 10 degrees separated from that in a third world country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What they should have talked about is, one, is if they're going to have jobs when they come up, because apparently that mine has gone bankrupt.
I know that's been covered, but that should have been covered.
That should have been something interesting for them.
It should be covered again.
And also, these guys that are there, I mean, what's the life of a coal miner? Like, it literally is, unfortunately, it is you're breaking your back and you're sacrificing your lungs. It doesn't matter if you have a mask or not, but you're sacrificing your life for this livelihood. That's all you know.
For this company's copper and gold.
So these guys...
Yeah, copper and gold. You got the dust still down
these
there.
These guys that are there are really going out of their way. This is what they should have talked about the people.
Right.
They should have talked about who these people were, what their families
are
all
so
about.
Right. That's good. That's good. There's a non-CNN journalist who's coming up with a better idea
than I illustrate something by way of audio?
Okay.
This morning, the Today Show was very excited because it's going on during the Today Show.
Human drama.
And they got Natalie Morales and they sent her down there and
she amazing, by the way.
Yeah, she's looking better. You know what? The worst she ever looked is when they made her dress up as Eddie Munster. But the best she looked is recently.
Still, in my opinion, next to Menudo's. Who is it?
Maria Menounos.
Maria Menounos. It's always been a tie between
those.
Used
to be a fatty. Fat.
She was a fatty.
When I see them together, I think Menounos looks like the better looking big sister, and then the Morales might try a little harder.
Morales, to me, trade doable.
But give me Giada.
But also, I think Morales would just kind of be there. You know, I mean, there wouldn't be any real passion.
I'd be okay with that.
I don't think there's...
You'd be okay with that. You'd be all right.
I think there might be an issue of flatness. They wouldn't have had to drill so big a hole to get her out, I think.
I don't think topside she's sporting much.
But here she is. She's down there. Mm-hmm. She's pretty. She's excited. And she starts crying, which is okay. But
it's not.
Here's what I'm saying. She's given into the emotion, and that's okay. She's human. But in a taped piece, don't... put it in the tape piece.
Right.
If you're going to be my journalist, if you're going to be my
link. Oh, so she pulls a broadcast news, she pulls a William Hurt?
She cries in the taped piece.
Oh.
And we have tape of that.
She was actually crying because she's in Chile.
That is a funny riff.
Here's Natalie Morales and her flat breast.
We get it.
The raw emotion is captured by hundreds of reporters surrounding the family.
It is an unbelievable scene here. It's impossible to have a dry eye. As you can see, the very first moment, the very first hug, one of the most emotional experiences, seeing a lot of the reporters here and seeing even the grown men up there, the reporters covering this story. Everybody's crying.
See, that's irresponsible to me.
I would have to see the video
this
before
is,
I make
this
the
is
final
not,
call.
Not Cronkite reporting the death of Kennedy. This is not, I mean, these are not, it's, it didn't, it's not uncalled for. It's not that.
Did you guys see that live, by the way?
See the actual first person coming out?
Cronkite actually announcing Kennedy's death.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Yeah. I did.
I mean, what was that
1963.
Like? 1963. I'm asking if somebody saw it. There you go.
I was born in 1959.
It might have been on.
Oscar, I got up on a Saturday morning to watch cartoons quietly with the sound down while my parents slept, and I saw Lee Harvey Oswald get shot to death on live television.
Jesus.
Yeah. Did you really, Bugs Bunny was too violent.
What was that like? I mean, were you like...
I was alone. I was a little traumatized. Yeah.
Wow. Were you 11?
I guess that would be about
63.
Right.
How old were you in 63?
10. 10.
You were 10?
10.
So you 10 were old enough, and I was, let me see, 63. Mm-hmm. I was 4. I was 5.
Right.
And so you saw that on TV.
My link to it, my mom was born 1950, so she's 13 when this goes down.
Right.
And she went to a Catholic school. and it shut down the school. They sent the kids home in a quiet, orderly fashion that afternoon. It was unprecedented. And, you know, it was
I think that's
huge
amazing
deal.
That you got a chance to see that. I can't imagine that announcement.
This is, you know, the thing that the main gripe, even with all the other hyping of CNN, was why can't you tell me, or reasonably, because I'm waiting to see this, what kind of timetable we're dealing with these minors when
they're
going to
prepare that, Mike.
They didn't. Yeah, it wasn't pre-prepared.
They had lots of stuff ready to go, and they wanted to make sure they got it all in.
Are they still pulling those guys out, right?
Oh, they're still doing it, yeah. Every minor will take roughly an hour, they said, and there was 30 minors.
Right. They were allowing. They were allowing about 48 hours for the whole process. We're halfway through
this. The one thought I had, and I know it would never happen because it's not my line of work, but I don't think I would fit in that tube.
Nope. They talked about that.
Oh, there's no way.
They said even though some of those guys have lost 20 pounds while they're down there, they're going to have to actually scrunch their shoulders together to fit in that cave.
And I got to thinking about it. If for some reason I was down under there, and you know, 29 guys went, and it's just like, well, we'll check you later.
Now, how many, Rob? If you're down
there, you
lose
the weight. I'd make myself throw up every day.
You'd lose the LBs.
But what about these broad shoulders?
And that's an issue, even with some of these thinner guys.
I'm sure.
But still, I mean, can you think of anything as horrifying as that? How sad that would be.
Wedge me in there.
That's like, Rob, I'm so sorry you got to stay in the hole.
I said I should have stayed with the podcast. This was the worst decision ever.
And you're not just mortified because it's
not size.
Yeah, it's worse than getting on an airline and knowing that the guys that are too fat to sit in the seats.
Yeah.
This would be the ultimate like kick in the nuts. I'm just going to hang myself.
Yeah, and there's
because
no seatbelt
extender. Everybody
in
the world knows why you can't come up.
Most of Chile is very sad because Mr. Rob Spiewak remains in the mine. We have sent down two Slim Fast shakes.
Roberto.
And I hate to make it about me, but that's the one thought I had when I saw them getting in that
cage.
It's
a tight little cage.
No way.
And then they would have to shimmy exercise equipment down there for you.
We've handed down a shake weight.
The second to last miner has been taken out, and now, of course, the jar of olives will be sent down along with the syrup of Ipecac. And Mr. Spiewak will be remaining underground. They estimate, though, that by St. Patrick's Day, he will have lost the proper amount of weight. All right.
One more positive thing I want to add to this. Yes. A comment I made to my wife as we were watching this last night. As you may know, there were three different companies drilling three different holes to try to get to these miners. Guess which company got there first? The American company. I turned to my wife and I said, we can still do stuff. Yeah, we can still do stuff.
Yeah, you don't hear enough about that.
USA, number one. We got there first. We should be proud of that.
That's very good stuff. Yeah. And right before we break, I did want to mention just this weird story down in Mexico where the wife alleges that these gang members shot her husband on a jet ski, shot him in the head. His body hasn't been recovered yet.
Yeah, right? which I want to apologize publicly because I slandered this lady left and right.
Right.
I thought she was lying.
And I still think you don't believe her.
Well, the thing is, it's pretty credible when the guy in Mexico that's investigating who did it shows up with his head in a suitcase.
You know, this is odd that I would have yet another piece of tape, and this is not a gag. Can I play something from NBC News? This encapsulates it, and it's horror pretty well.
A Mexican police commander investigating the disappearance of an American on a border lake has now himself been murdered. His severed head delivered to the Mexican military. Jesus. This is the latest twist in a bizarre case involving pirates, drug cartels, and murder. The murdered investigator has been identified as Rolando Flores, and the lead investigator on the U.S. side, Sheriff Gonzalez of Zapata County, told NBC News tonight that investigator never made it home after a day of searching for David Hartley.
God, can you imagine?
Wow. Those people are hard workers in every form, facet.
Wow.
They went out of their way to kill this guy.
Do you think, and I just brought this up for the, at a certain point, we get all our people back from Afghanistan, we're going to have to send them down to the border? Into Mexico to deal with this? Because obviously
it's been scary for a while.
The Mexican authorities cannot continue to...
They're overwhelmed.
We've had audio of gunplay in a city that just goes untouched.
And that sheriff that's in on the border town of Mexico and...
Who runs border town?
Master Blaster.
Okay.
That sheriff is so overwhelmed.
Yes.
Like, he's literally, when you see him on the news, he's like, what am I supposed to do?
It really does look like...
I mean, I can't go down to Mexico.
What can he do?
It looks like when Andy Griffith went on vacation and left Barney in charge.
You gotta see this guy.
It really is. This is a guy in way over his head.
Right. So, you're right. I said that to Kara yesterday when we were watching the news. I said, what needs to happen is we got to get our Navy SEALs and go and just clean house, and that's it.
Don't you think probably an easier task to do that than to tackle these guys in Afghanistan?
Well, it's closer to home. We have more culturally in common with them.
Maybe, you know, target some of these cartel
guys. Food is better.
You know,
get some drones out there.
Yeah, drones to target these cartel guys.
I'm so glad that we left the handling of drugs in the hands of gangsters. I think that's really why what's gotten us here today.
So are you making your appeal for your little political... Is this his legalized pot bit?
You know what? It actually...
Same as prohibition.
This one holds water. I hate to say it, but
it's the same as prohibition.
This holds water like his
ladies bong. And gentlemen, Buzz Burbank, never a missed opportunity. anyway, we will take a break, and when we come back, it's the Audio Vault, Rob's Magic Audio Vault, right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's from Mexico, Mike.
Sometimes it makes me laugh just when you do this.
Can I make something clear?
Legalize the reefer just like Buzz wants to do.
What's that?
I feel like I've slandered every Latin American.
You have definitely been on your people today.
Yes.
You have been on your people.
I don't know
people.
Why. I'm sorry.
But it's
Bolivia sucks too.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm from there.
The Chile stuff works. I'm sorry. When they come out of the mine and they realize they're still in Chile.
Yeah.
That's funny.
They're unhappy.
Time to open Rob's Magic Audio Vault, ladies and gentlemen. Today is... well, let me hear that again.
Sorry,
okay?
Chief?
Today it's brought to you by Dr. Bruce Friedman. There's an easy way to look younger. Dr. Friedman's one of the first plastic surgeons in the area to use Artifil, a non-surgical facial rejuvenation that lasts. Call Dr. Friedman or tell a friend. For the phone number and a revealing website, click his ad at MikeOMaraShow.com. What do you got today, Rob?
Today I start, Mike, with a tribute to a great man. A man named Mike O'Mara.
What? Mm.
Yesterday in the opening vignette, and there's the noise. Yesterday in the opening vignette, you did. I was flooded with messages. People said, thank God you addressed that noise.
It's not going anywhere.
I know, and none of us are. You were doing the Jesse Ventura yesterday.
Yes, I was, yes.
And sometimes when I see the guy after you do the voice,
right,
I have to throw it back because you are so flippin' accurate.
Yeah, you kill it.
And this is so entertaining because it's Jesse with Larry King. So it's lots of entertaining things going on here because you have the awkward and the bad and the Jesse. Did you know that Jesse Ventura loves to attack the U.S. government?
Oh, we got the Coast Guard behind us.
This starts from a clip from his new show on True TV, whatever it's called. I have an IQ.
Conspiracy theory.
Conspiracy theory, in which he's being chased in Plum Island. Okay, so he's actually being chased in a boat.
Right. We got the Coast Guard behind us. We got these guys here. What the hell? I used to be a governor. What do they think I am? A f-ing terrorist?
I like it when he uses the F word.
Are you enjoying doing that show, Jesse?
I really like it, Larry, because first of all, I love to attack our government. Oh, you know,
I know.
It's an unending thing. You get tremendous amount of stories, and it keeps me vim and vigor, and, you know, I like to seek the truth, and I think that my government's lied to me so often that this is a show that allows me to do that.
Jesse, they've lied. I like to attack the government.
I swear, Mike, it's just so dead on. And here,
the Coast Guard in back of us.
Why do you think he's in Plum Island, Mike?
I have no idea.
He's in Plum Island because of Nazis.
Really?
Yes.
I thought so.
This is why he explains it here.
Where is Plum Island?
Hi.
Plum Island is located right on the end of Long Island. And the unique thing about it is, Larry, it's a biological testing area that was created by a guy named Eric Traub, who was a Nazi right under Himmler and the SS. And his specialty was creating biological warfare using wood ticks and mosquitoes. And that's the big conspiracy here, because Lyme disease, the first recorded case was in Lyme, Connecticut, which is right across the water from Plum Island. And imagine this, they're doing this type of research there, this type of danger, and they're 80 miles from Boston and 75 miles from downtown New York.
How about that?
You know what? I might have to tune this in. I might have to TiVo this show.
But you see, the thing is the show is not going to be as entertaining as him talking
about the show.
Absolutely right. I always thought he was a crackpot and all these conspiracies just didn't make sense. But then I just saw a story last week that made me think twice about him, before you did the bit.
I agree. I always believe in keeping an open mind.
If I'm correct, it was at Venezuela. It was a Latin American country, basically, but our government went down there
right.
and infected prisoners in prisons down there and prostitutes with syphilis and gonorrhea.
Yeah, we actually had
that. We do a lot of that.
Well, we had that on the audio wall. Yeah.
So I was literally sitting there and I said, how the hell... Yeah. How the hell were we able to do that?
Absolutely.
That
right? That's what goes on sometimes.
And what happened in the South when we were infecting African Americans?
Just in the news today, a story about testing Agent Orange outside of a military facility here in D.C. I mean, it's everywhere. Well, our government has a history of doing
blankets
that.
With smallpox.
And here it is. When you get a guy like a Jesse Ventura, you're going to get about maybe 98% of what he says is going to be crap. Okay, right.
But, the
then
kernel.
There's going to be that little stories. Kernel. That's right.
Squirrel finds a nut.
There's going to be that one moment where he goes, okay, I'm right on this one.
I got, and you know what?
If he gets,
if he gets one right, then he's, you know, for some reason it's feasible. This is the last cut.
Right.
And this is magical because he talks about the John F. Kennedy assassination. They talk over each other. It's awkward. And Larry has one of his great subject shifts at the end. I give you Larry and Jesse.
Well, a couple of other things, Jesse. That show renews Friday night its second season on True TV.
Yep, that's true.
What do you make?
Go ahead.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, I was just going to say they let me do JFK this year, Larry, and everybody asked me what I can bring new to the John F. Kennedy murder. How about an audio, visual, and written confession? That's what you'll hear this year.
Now, see, I'm tuning in for that.
A lot of people will.
I am tuning in for that just to see it.
I'm one of the retards that bought the remastered Zapruder film on DVD when it came out because it's fascinating.
It's a fascinating and unsolved.
Yeah,
I mean,
it really is.
I think there's more to it when you really study this. And I think, you've watched a lot of these.
Yes.
I took a documentary film course, which was a big part of this JFK assassination. Man, you look at that and still the amazing skill that would have been required for Oswald to fire those shots and to get that to make that happen.
And also to play
and
play the other side and know the value that the government would place in putting it to bed quickly and easily.
Right. Exactly.
There's just a value in it.
All right, what else do we
have? You have to hear the end of this Larry and Jesse tape because that's when the magic happens.
All right.
Kennedy murder. How about an audio, visual, and written confession? That's what you'll hear this year.
Wow. Wow. Well, what do you make of the midterm elections?
Larry. He wasn't paying attention.
You got to know.
Right.
He
was tuned out. He was tuned out. Larry didn't give a rat's ass.
No edits there. That's really how it happened. Now, you know who's very brave, Mike?
Who?
Bret Michaels.
All right.
I want to tell you something that Bret, despite his brain aneurysm, he's really come to play, and he wanted to address, there's a rumor that he's going to be on the next season of Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
But he's better now.
Hope he's up to it.
Always flying around. And a big one that you might do Dancing with the Stars. What's up with that?
That is definitely a rumor, and I'll tell you why. I'd come on and rock it. I'd play a song. But no one wants to see me dance.
That's right.
I can't even get the running man down yet.
You see, Mike, he's very brave.
He is better.
Brave guy.
Okay.
Tomorrow we'll have to have fun with
all
helium.
Right, on Level Wednesday. That is where we are. We will come back with Buzz and the news right after these messages. Welcome back to MikeOMaraShow.com. Time for a full segment of news. Here he is, the man, the legend, Mr. Buzz Burbank.
Thank you, Mike. We're brought to you today by Cameron Hills Golf Links in King George, Virginia. Newbies still getting half off of those 2011 memberships and free entry to the TMOS charity event next spring. You can join by email simply by writing CameronGolf@AOL.com. That's Cameron Hills Golf Links. Check out their ad on our website.
Newbies.
The day's top story still has to be
sexy, right?
Is newbie yours? Is newbie yours?
Yeah, I mean, we could have said new first time members, but it just was a more compact way of saying it.
Newbies,
Mike.
Yeah.
Yes, do be a newbie. Don't be a don't be.
Newbie a doobie.
I see Mike.
Thank you.
I see Mark.
Thank you.
I see Oscar.
Very good.
Slamming the entire Latin American community.
Newbie. Right, go ahead.
The day's top story still has to be those Chilean miners, more than half of whom have now reached the surface after having been trapped underground for months. All of the miners who had any kind of medical problems or conditions were the first to be rescued. Now, on the surface, thousands of journalists and cameras reporting this rescue to an eager worldwide audience. And the president of Chile is on hand to greet each and every one of the 33 men who've been living more than 2,000 feet underground since August 5th.
This was a very controversial move, I mean, for him. He was urged to, you know, not go to the expense of doing this. Right. And because of his efforts, correct me if I'm wrong, the Chilean president, they went forward with this as opposed to, you know, letting it go. And that's why they found these guys. So he's taking full credit, and he should, I
Rightly
suppose.
Rightly so. Certainly the mining company, and now that they're out of business, wasn't going to be able to help at all. They're broke. Right. So they couldn't help.
The amazing thing is, did you hear when they interviewed, I think it was the second miner out, when his wife ran up to him and said, did you know Mike O'Mara is on the edge now?
And then he said, you mean 105.9?
Yes, and he said, I hope they paired him up with Kirk McEwen. And he said, very, very good.
And he said,
he calls him El Kirk.
See, El Kirko. and the fact, yes, and did you know it's 5 to 9 a.m.?
Bueno!
Aye!
Fiesta!
Thank
you for the plug, Rob.
I thought that was a nice way to put it in there. Almost forgot to get it in today. Very subtle,
really. Right. The other danger of the deep concerns offshore oil drilling. The government banned deep water drilling of all kinds after the BP spill, but yesterday lifted the ban ahead of schedule, but with some restrictions. Now, some companies are being allowed to resume drilling in the Gulf, but only if they meet these new stricter regulations. This means that more people can now return to their jobs offshore for the first time since the spill.
You know, when you mention ban, it makes me think of my deodorant. And I don't reveal this little factoid very often, but I use a very gay deodorant.
What's that?
Ban. Would you like to know the name of the name of the scent?
I really would.
Satin Breeze. My wife has cajoled, not cajoled, she has lambasted
Cried.
Me. She has given me more crap about the fact that I use this deodorant than anything
is
in
it
our
not a
marriage.
Is it not a ladies' product?
I don't.
What color is the package?
Mike.
It's light green.
There is nothing wrong with that. Throughout college, I used Secret.
Ah,
strong enough for a man.
You know what? I smell my underarm now. I am so satisfied with that scent.
You know what? Considering we're all basically sloppy radio guys,
yes,
we are the sweetest smelling bunch in any studio.
There is never a real bouquet here.
No,
there is never a bouquet.
I look like I smell.
I will occasionally pass gas, but with Buzz's help, and make sure you email these.
I'll get it to you straight away.
And the reason why I use Secret was because at my house, my mom would buy the Costco packs of deodorant.
Strong enough for a man.
Yeah, when I was in college, I would just steal like the value pack and just take it with me.
Yes.
So, and I remember I had like a long term girlfriend there. She would always say, you smell like my mom. That's weird. Hot. I don't know what you're talking.
That would get me, you know. If Carla laid me that on me, I would have been. But the Satin Breeze is a deodorant that it just. I like the scent. It's like a nice cologne.
It's unisexual.
It's like a nice cologne.
Who are we to judge?
Who's to say it's for chicks?
Who are we to judge if it makes you feel pretty?
That's right. Now on to the midterm elections.
Oh, you're not going to like this. The Wall Street Journal reports that Wall Street itself is on track to pay record salaries and bonuses for a second straight year.
That'll show them.
That's right. The greedy bloodsuckers who caused this economy to crumble are doing fine while millions are still out of work. Roughly three dozen of our biggest banks will pay $144 billion in salary and benefits this year. That's up 4% from last year.
I'm going to surprise
things
you.
Things are going so well.
I'm going to surprise you here. I said earlier, you can't mess with this. You're not going to be able to change the compensation that they are giving people who are making these firms money. However, it's not the money going out to bonuses, because they got to pay that, or these guys are going to go across the street, the best and the brightest, to the next brokerage house. What they are also doing, Buzz, is they are hoarding profits.
Right.
And they, you know, I'm not talking, I wouldn't even mess with the compensation issue. I would mess with the money that they are keeping in their coffers and not lending to small businesses.
They should start spending it.
This wouldn't be a story if they hadn't A, effed the country, and B, held on to the money to prevent regrowth of the
country.
They
need to put the money back in the economy in the form of hats and cups and podcasts.
Yeah, absolutely.
T-shirts.
Oversized
derbies. And a series of three brand new Raw shows that'll be made available shortly before Christmas.
Yay!
Ho, ho, holidays.
Thank you.
26 of these 35 firms are handing out raises. I heard from a friend yesterday who just got a 1% raise at her job, which she now covers herself as well as the job of a former and now laid off coworker. So she's now doing two jobs for 1% more money.
Mm-hmm.
Social Security recipients have just been told they'll get no cost of living raise this year. That's only happened one time before in history. last year.
Second year in a row.
Right.
No increase for, you know, people really on Social Security that need that money desperately.
They blow it all on bingo anyway.
Wall Street, meanwhile, still doing okay if you still have those pitchforks handy.
Rob Spiewak, friend of the elderly.
Don't ask, that's swell. The same judge who recently ruled the military's don't ask, don't tell policy unconstitutional has now issued an injunction forcing the Pentagon to stop enforcing the policy.
We actually have a tape of that judge.
Excellent. This is great.
This is from the ruling yesterday.
Alive!
She is.
There we go. Thank you. All right.
Never.
I love that.
I was going to sing along.
Yes, this, I'm sorry.
This means an instant stop to all current investigations, hearings, and discharges. No snickering at discharges.
Discharge.
The White House has yet to file an appeal of the judge's ruling, but at the same time asking Congress to move ahead with repealing the policy once and for all.
I have a new policy in my marriage. It's don't ask, don't tell me what to do. It's not working.
Rob, that's like Catskills. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, little Rob Spiewak right here on the main stage. Welcome. Welcome to the Shamil Resort.
That's the Fozzie Bear I know.
I'll tell you about don't ask, don't tell. Don't ask, don't tell me what to do.
Wacka, wacka.
No, honey, do. Rob gets the big laugh and he goes, and then after that, I hit her.
Good night.
The Philadelphia suburb of Norristown is starting to look for parked cars that have been left unlocked by their owners. The officer will lock the car and leave the owner with a $25 ticket. The idea is to cut down on the number of car thefts because, as we all know, thieves never steal a locked car.
Hey, use forget?
You know, that's like totally unconstitutional.
Yeah.
If I want to leave my effing car unlocked, get away from it, Ossifer.
$25 ticket. Ossifer. And they lock it.
What a bunch of crap.
They lock it with a cheesesteak in it.
Yeah, so what if your keys are lost or something like that?
You're going to have to hire a locksmith.
Hands off my hoopty,
exactly.
You dick.
Exactly.
All right.
And finally, things that make you go, ew. In Eugene, Oregon, a woman is suing her hotel employers because she said at a party the owners made her and others play ring toss on the husband's thing. So a man and wife own this hotel, and they have a party, and they invite the employees to play ring toss.
That shouldn't make you go, ew. That should make you go,
Now, once the husband owner was at complete attention,
yeah.
The employees were invited to guess the length and circumference with sex toys given out as prizes.
Wow.
But in Oklahoma City...
It's a great hotel.
A man in Oklahoma City, though, a man returned from his lunch hour at his office job, his cubicle,
yeah,
to find a scraggly 57-year-old homeless guy sitting at his desk, naked.
Oh, no.
Looking at internet porn.
Mr. O'Mara.
Touching himself.
Oh, ew. Oh,
I told you.
Ew, you got the ew out of it.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Very good. There's my closing music. Are we going to fix this after the show?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Our show today was brought to you by Peapod.
Mike, I got places to go.
Peapod.com. Get Honeycrisp apples and all your groceries delivered right to your door at a time that's convenient to you. Peapod is a complete shopping experience with the freshest produce, meat, seafood, and baked goods. And you can shop 24/7 at Peapod.com. Get $10 off your first order when you click the Peapod ad on our website. Our web host is Bluebot, and this program cannot be rebroadcast in any form without written consent from an authorized representative of MikeOmaraShow.com. We depend on advertising. You can reach thousands of folks right here. Tens of thousands of them. Click advertise at MikeOmaraShow.com or call 301-244-8773. Do me a favor. If you're listening to my voice right now, think about a prospective advertiser and have them give us a call.
The ones we have are happy.
That's it. Got to get out of here. For Rob, Buzz, and Oscar, and this is Mike O'Mara saying so long.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.